Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtain.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Doing this evening. I hope you're having a blessed evening. My name is Phil Armstrong. Welcome to the Prophecy Zone. We have an awesome show for y'all. We have from Rapture Ready Radio. We have Matt Buffs, and also from Breaking the Silence, we have Ron and Kevin, who is supposed to be on here tonight. God bless everybody out there. Hope everybody's having a wonderful evening. I wanted to speak to y'all right quick about something that's really been bugging me. It's kind of my dry sense of humor. But anyway, the Olympic gold medals. Can anybody out there tell me what they're worth? Well, guess what? They're not even worth the gold that you think they're worth. A matter of fact, they're worth a lot less than the gold you think they are worth. The sponsors are making billions of dollars. And also the U.S. Olympic organization is making millions of dollars. But they can't buy any real gold for their players or competitors. But there is something that the Word of God speaks of. Our rewards, the Bible talks about, they don't perish. They don't fade away. They stay for eternity. Not knocking the people from the U.S. Olympics. I actually enjoy the Summer Olympics. I haven't really got a chance to watch the winter. Not knocking them, but at the same time, we should be out preaching the Word of God. We should be out preaching until our feet get really hurt. Now, you suppose the disciples' feet, now I'm not mentioning Jesus because Jesus was tough, but his disciples is me and you. They are our example, believe it or not. Jesus is our true example, but they are our example because they more us. He was God. He got tired too. But our disciples, I can guarantee you this, their feet were hurting when they got done. When I was in the Army, we'd do a 12-mile road march. My feet were sore. What's my point? We need to get out there and do the work of the Lord before time stops. And it's very important. We need to get out there and preach the Word of God. And there's nothing like it in the world. When you get that, when you start witnessing and you learn how to witness, now, you don't have to be the most talented person in the world. The Holy Spirit will carry you through, but you need to have the basic knowledge of the Word. And you should actually, you know, try to study to show yourself approved. But He can use you. He can use your testimony. And that's the most effective thing that we have is our testimony. that we can give our friends and our coworkers and our lady standing in line next to you the gospel. Because the church that we have today is sort of slipping away. And if we don't grab it, everybody thinks everybody's going to heaven, especially in America. Everybody's going to heaven. You say, no, are you kidding? No, I'm just joking. You know, not everybody's going to heaven. But according to everybody else, your next door, we treat it like that. We take for granted that everybody knows God. Nobody. This is, and I'm stepping on some toes right now. I live in Spokane County. I'm not gonna say what city I live in, but I live close to Spokane. And when I moved to the city I live in now, it took a year and a half before somebody told me about Jesus in this town. See, in Hawaii, my church used to go out. And I used to talk to everybody about God. And see, everybody from my church used to talk to everybody. Everybody you see, you talk to your neighbor, you talk to your family, talk to your friend, till they're tired. Oh, man, here he comes. But when we get a realization of hell, and we get a realization of what Jesus done on the cross for us, and Jesus thought it was pretty important because he spoke more of heaven than he did of hell. A lot more. And think, please. Ponder on this. Hell, you don't have any breaks. Oh, lunch time, 15 minutes. Oh, can I grab a glass of water, please? Yeah, there is no water. Ask the rich ruler. Whatever you want to call him, rich businessman. He asked Lazarus, he asked Abraham, could you have him bring me some water, please? And I'm not mocking him. I'm just trying to state a point. The point is that hell is hot. It's suffering. Not only is it suffering, but you're there with all your memories. And we need to really ponder on that. But the Israel is hot. The Middle East is hot. It doesn't look that way to the people who ain't, but trust me, this thing is about to explode. Is it good news for me? No, it's not good news. The best news is that Jesus Christ is coming back. But the sad news is, this is serious business. I don't want to see Israel, and I love Israel, because I love Israel, but I'm just saying that for the sake of kids and children and women and Damascus. Damascus has a short life. As a matter of fact, Damascus is on the clock. You ever seen a draft? The St. Louis Cardinals are on the clock. I mean, Damascus is on the clock. And we need to pray for the people over there. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to bring on our first guest from Rapture Ready Radio.
Join me, Phil Armstrong, on Blog Talk Radio as we discuss end-time events, the mind of Jesus Christ's second coming, earthquakes, pestilence, the mark of the beast technology, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the dividing of Jerusalem, and much more. Join us for an hour of action-packed information that will keep you informed so you can be ready for the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Once again, join us on Blog Talk Radio. Join me, Phil Armstrong, and Prophet Zone on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday and Saturday at 7 o'clock as we talk about end-time prophecy in line with the second coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Let me see. 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Has anybody figured out they're listening to the Prophecy Zone yet? I just noticed that that's like four commercials in a row. I got a commercial with a whole bunch of people on there, even Rapture Ready Radio. And I just always got a bad habit the last two shows of pushing the wrong buttons. But I don't want to glorify us. We need to glorify Jesus. How about that? Yeah, that's too many commercials straight. But anyway, I'd like to talk to y'all quickly about this show that Matt Buff is. I've been listening to this show for a couple of months, and once I get a show that I listen to a lot, then I sort of I'm like those type of people who get the A-track. Remember the 8-track, but not 8-tracks, the cassette tapes. You used to go into the cassette in the cars. I used to listen to a cassette tape until the paint run off. And now you know you're listening to a cassette tape too much. Well, I have a certain amount of shows that I listen to, and I listen to them every week. And I kind of get my information from these type of ministries, especially Rapture Ready and Terry James and the show that they got on there also, and Jack Van Impey and all these guys, and I enjoy the show, I really do. So I'm gonna bring him on, and next week we're gonna probably have Anthony J. Holder on. So next Sunday. Now, my commercials say Sunday and Saturday. I didn't pull those commercials because I might be going to Sunday and Saturday. But Saturday, one of the two will be a shorter show. And then I'll do one for 30 minutes throughout the week. But the Thursday show is probably going to be gone for a while until further notice. But we'll let y'all know what's going on about that. So further ado, I'm going to bring Matt on. Matt?
Yes, hello, Phil. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, no problem, brother. How you doing?
Oh, doing fantastic. Thank you for the nice things you said about Rapture Ready Radio. You know, in Matthew, it tells us to discern the signs of the times, and in 2 Timothy, it says it's our job to seek out the signs of the king's returns, and that's what we're doing, and that's what you're doing.
Amen.
And it's just an exciting time to be here, that's for sure.
Yes, indeed. Praise God. Get started. What would you like the direction the Lord is leading you to? Or you want me to just tell you what the Lord is leading me to? I mean, what you want to talk about?
Well, we can do both for sure. I mean, I saw the show notes where you were talking about what's going on in the Middle East and what's happening in relation to the United States and that. And we can get into all of that and then whatever you want to. I mean, it's your show, so you tell me where you want to go and we'll go there.
Let's go with the Middle East.
Okay, just look at what happened in the news just today. And if you want the news that you're not going to see, like on television, on CNN, Fox News, or MSNBC, if you want to see the real news about what's going on related to Bible prophecy and things like that around the world, it's on raptureready.com and just click on news. And, of course, on raptureReadyRadio.com, we link to that too. But if you just look today at the puzzle that's lining out, and I can read you a couple of these headlines here. First of all, put the pieces together here out of these headlines. Hezbollah warns Israel. Ahmadinejad of Iran vows to stand by Hezbollah. Russia warns U.S. against attacking Iran. This is Ezekiel 38 playing out in depth, my friend.
Iran and
Russia teaming up against Israel.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Wow, it's just like we're listening to the Bible come off into the news.
Well, it sure is. And, you know, when we talk about Ezekiel 38, we're talking about the Old Testament. The prophet Ezekiel was talking about what's going to happen in our day. What's happening right now was actually written in the Old Testament, which is amazing. But, you know, what's really neat when we talk about Israel, and we do a segment in our show every week, and we have a weekly show on Israel, when we look at what's happening from 1948 to 9, if you look at Matthew 24, it says, I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass away until all these things have happened. Well, 1948, Israel became a state on May 14th, and here we are seeing Ezekiel prophecies coming true, and then we're also seeing the Bible saying that this generation will not pass until these things have all happened, and we're seeing these things happen. And if you look at the timeline, the rapture is very close.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Now, do you see anything preceding the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war?
Well, what we're seeing right now is something that you're going to see. It's the alignment of the nations. It is going to be a role that is played by these nations that are mentioned in Ezekiel. But what you're seeing now is the trading of weapons. You're, like, for example, Russia selling Iran weapons, the threats that you're seeing constantly. And, you know, even just last week, the Prime Minister Netanyahu, somebody, a high respected priest, said that he is fulfilling Bible prophecy by taking the stand for Israel. And what's neat about this is Israel is like New Jersey, if you think about it. It's very small, and it's surrounded by these massive countries. The neat thing about it is, even though these countries are lining up against Israel, God will protect Israel. Israel will be protected by God. And so what you're seeing is a precursor. It's the lining up of the countries.
Yes, indeed, indeed. The Isaiah 17, where does that factor in?
Well, let me pull that up here. I know exactly what you're talking about. I just want to be right on. When you're talking about Isaiah 17, when again the burden against Damascus, basically, behold, Damascus will come, will be, behold, Damascus will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. The cities of Abel are forsaken. They will be for flocks which lie down, and no one will make them afraid. The kingdom from Damascus and the remnant of Syria, they will be as the glory of the children of Israel, says the Lord of hosts. In that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob will wane and the fatness of his flesh grow lean. It shall be as when the harvesters gather the rain and reach the head of his arms. It goes on and on there. And this is about the development of the children of Israel here. And it goes on in verse 10, because you have forgotten the Lord your salvation and not been mindful of the rock of your stronghold, then you will plant pleasant plants and set out foreign seedlings. The foreign seedling, which are of course everybody else around, and the harvest will be a heap of ruins in the day of grief and sorrow. That's the tribulation period.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, because a lot of people.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Okay, I lost you there.
Okay. Yeah, I was saying that Isaiah 17 could be a precursor. A lot of people believe that could be a precursor to Ezekiel 38 and 39, because Russia has hooks, and it's a plural, so it could be one of the reasons why. I mean, that's what I've heard a few people say, but I mean, I don't know. We have to let it play out.
Yes, and I really like the part where it says, and to the rushing of nations, that makes a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations will rush like the rushing of many waters. And that's, I think that's the exact verse you're talking about there. That is exactly what is happening right now. They are rushing. I mean, every week you can see a threat versus against Israel. You can see Ahmadinejad, the Holocaust denier, saying that he wants to wipe Israel off the map, and he's made that clear. And Russia is standing behind them, even though this administration here was asking Russia to not be so for Israel, they're very hesitant on a response to that. I'm sorry, not Israel, but Iran. They've asked Iran, Russia not to be so in Iran's corner, but Russia has really been hesitant to say anything about that relationship that they have, yet they keep selling them weapons and things.
Yeah, they in the book of Ezekiel, the first chapter, the 38th chapter, excuse me, it talks about Russia coming as a guard with to those that they are with. When Persia is one of them. So I'm thinking that they use sort of an anti-Semitic grouping of nations. And a lot of times they reverse what Israel, their position with Israel. Like, for instance, good is evil and evil is good with Israel. But when you turn around with the Palestinians, it's okay. You can go ahead and launch a rocket. And if Israel retaliate, uh-oh, that's wrong, you know. But if we let Canada, or let's say Mexico, shoot a bomb over here, we're going to have the army around there no time flat. So I think that's kind of rough territory with the rest of the global world. And they have already started, the footsteps have already started for the world to come against Israel. It's just a matter of time. And the world is slowly building anti-Semitic views, regardless. I mean, they've been having Jewish jokes for the longest. I mean, the world's already been set. Hollywood has already set us up, set the world up, those who are going to be here in the tribulation period, for anti-Semitic views.
And it's going to be extremely heavy, and it's getting heavier by the moment, like you said. I mean, the anti-Semitism that we're seeing is on a massive level. The thing to remember here is that God is in complete control. And
yes,
when people
amen.
when people that don't study prophecy look at that, what you made as a point right there is like, you know, it's strange. All these countries say all these things about Israel, but the moment Israel says something back, then everybody jumps all over them. Why is that? Well, that's because Israel has God in their corner. And when you have
amen.
God in your corner, you don't need Barack Obama. You don't need Ahmadinejad. You don't need Putin. You don't need any of these guys when you have God. And people can't understand that, but that's God's plan.
Oh, yes, indeed. Indeed. The Bible talks about do not have confidence in the arm of man. And this last election was greatly a demonstration of the arm of man. I've never seen anybody blown out of proportion in my whole entire 41 years. Of existence on this earth. I have never seen a politician. I'm not saying it's not been one, but in my lifetime, there's never been an election so full of hot air that he can make his own airline and won't even have to use any fuel. I mean, that's the guy. I mean, I'm pray for him. I pray for the president. I pray for Congress, and I pray for our nation and pray for Israel, but I mean, the Antichrist is not going to have any problems. I don't think when he arises, and I think the Bible teaches he'll be from the Middle East, he'll be a Syrian. When that person arises, he's not Obama. For everybody Obamaites out there, Obama's not the Antichrist. The Bible says he should have a look more stout than his fellows. When the Bible talks about stout, or he's the king of fierce features, fierce means intimidating. Whoever the Antichrist is, he would be an intimidating person. So he's not Obama. Obama's a pretty boy. So when this person comes to the scene, the world is going to jump on his bandwagon, because evidently they jumped on President Obama.
Well, you look at Obama, who is relatively unknown, and the following he got, and people crying at the campaigns and everything, and there's websites out there that ask if he's the Messiah and everything. And I'll tell you this, from a biblical perspective, Obama is like a footstool
prototype
to the Antichrist. He's not even one tenth of what the Antichrist is going to be. And yet people are holding up their babies, kiss my baby. So he'll be liberal too. and he won't have any experience and be able to be a president of something. Please kiss my baby. Kiss him now.
Throw some water on him. Holy water.
Yeah. Well, stand in your light. Please stand in the light so it'll shine on me. Ridiculous. And that's just a taste of what's going to happen. Yeah. Think about this. Think about this, Phil. After the rapture happens, it's going to be complete chaos, okay?
Yes, it is.
Complete and utter chaos. And when things start to settle down just a little bit, this figure is going to come on the stage, and all the Christians are gone. What does that leave? Lukewarms and liberals. That's what it leaves, okay? Yeah. Yeah. They are going to bow down to this individual, and hearts will be hardened. You were reading some quotes in the Bible. I mean, the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. That's in Revelation 13:3. And you look at this as a precursor, but you see, like you just said, you see the world ready to worship a human being.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And the rapture. I've heard some of the craziest things about the rapture. I'm a rapture believer. If you listen to some of my shows, one day I decided when I was in the military, and I was full blown for Jesus in person, full of the Holy Spirit, sat down at my table in my barracks room, and I said, okay, I'm going to go dumb for a second, and I'm not trying to be funny. I sat down with the Bible, and I said, okay, I'm going to look to see their side that says there is no rapture. And to this day, I literally can't understand, and I still can't understand why they can't believe. I'm a simpleton, and what I mean by that is when I walk up to you and tell you the Federal Reserve is not federal, I think you're supposed to jump out of your pan. That's how much of a simpleton I am. If the evidence is there right in your face. I don't really think any lower of anybody. I just kind of like shake my head. But as far as the rapture, that's a touchy situation. But I look at simple stuff like this. The first three chapters of Revelation, Jesus is speaking in red. He mentions the church 19 times. Now, I'm going to say this nicely. I don't see the word church mentioned again. Now, I've seen the word saint and I've seen the word elect. But
yes,
that's not
two key words right there, saints and elect. And go ahead.
Yeah, that and you're the guest on the show, so I'm gonna let you go ahead and talk. But that saints represent set apart ones. So that could be Moses, that could be David, that could be John the Baptist, the disciples, the apostles, John, who was the last one. It could be me, you, and everybody on listening to this radio program. But the elect is Israel, and it could also be the same people I just said. But it's also the tribulation saints. Now, this is my thing. Now, I'll let you talk after this. I'm done. You got the show for the rest of the night. But we got a lazy church if they're not mentioned. If we're not mentioned, and I say there for the sake of the tribulation period, if the church is not mentioned in Revelation, then the church, the gates of hell have prevailed against it. They're not sealed. If it was a church, it was a new one. I mean, the word church is gone, so the church is gone to heaven at that point. The saints have taken over as tribulation people who got saved during the tribulation period, and pretty much God will use them, but they're not sealed. Just 144,000 Jews and the two witnesses, and the angel don't need filling. So it's impossible just off that one thing. I can use a lot of other scripture, but I just don't understand how the cross is not powerful enough to withstand God's wrath. That's God's wrath. Now, the missionaries have been killed throughout time. That was the devil. God has allowed it. But that's how life is. Everybody's going to die. But as far as the tribulation period, that's the wrath of God. It's not the wrath of Satan. It's the wrath of God. The Christians are exempt because of the cross. no other reason.
Amen. Well, you opened up a whole can here when you're talking about the rapture, pre-tribulation rapture, the tribulation saints, and you'll just have to cut me off because this is how we roll, okay, on the show. This is something we love to tackle. And when you talk about the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now you go to Revelation 3:10. You talked about the first three chapters of Revelation. This one is key. This is one of many verses that kills the post-tribulation rapture theory. You have kept my commandments to put up with anything that happens. So I will keep you from the time of suffering that is going to come to the whole world. It will test those who live on the earth.
Yeah.
From there, you have the 144,000 Jews that are now Christians. They are the witnesses that go out into the world. 144,000. 144,000 becomes maybe 2 million. Who knows? Because they go out and spread the word, and those people are the tribulation saints. Now, the elect in Matthew 24, when it talks about I don't have all the verses right in front of me, but the thunder is as it is in the west, and, you know, God, Jesus Christ will come back. This is the leading up to the battle of Armageddon here. The Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Now, this is something that somebody who believes in post-tribulation, they sent me this, and I used the same verse against what they were saying. When it talks about in 30 through 36, even so, when you see all these things, you know that the time is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Now, if he was coming mid-trib, every man would know the day or the hour. If he was coming post-trib, okay, let's say the tribulation period starts. We would know that by the Battle of Gog Magog and everything else with the Antichrist. Christians that are here right now, you and I and everybody in the chat room would know who the Antichrist is. We would know that in 7 years, Jesus Christ is going to come back with his army. But you know who his army is? His army is us, the church.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. You and I will be talking on a radio show. People will be taken while they're listening. Some will be left. This is the rapture the Bible talks about in the Old and New Testament. It's very fun. Very fun to talk about. The coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Salvation is through him. He is the way. And what you have here is the lining up against the nations against Israel. Talk about America. Look at what happens to America. We are blessed. We were more of a blessed country when we leaned on Christ, when we protected Israel. Now we're stepping away from Israel and we're turning away from Christ, and look what's happening to our economy. Look what's happening around our country. It is not a coincidence, just like the creation of the universe. It's not a coincidence. Breath time. Go ahead, Phil. Yeah. Sorry about that.
this is awesome topic because it's a preparation for Jesus' coming. When I was talking on my show a week ago, I was talking about the preparation of the New Orleans Saints and Indianapolis Colts for the Super Bowl, and they know when the game is going to be, so they prepare themselves. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. It's an imminent. So it's a purifying hope. So if we can count the days, there'll be 1,290. If we can count the days, then we can just go ahead and party like it's 1999. And as long as we eat right and don't get, don't get carjacked or get ran over by a bus, we can just go ahead and party. And I mean, we, for the sake of, you know, the world, we can just go ahead and party like it's 1999. And then the clock starts. That's why Jesus did that. That's why God himself, the Father, was going to send him back for the bride at an appointed time. Because back in the prehistoric time, back in Abraham's time, Eleazar go out and get the wife for Isaac, and at a point in time, Abraham would send Isaac to go get his bride. Well, it's the same thing. God would appoint a time, he will be sent. He will send his son down to get his church. And that's the only command he's taking. He's not taking our command. He's not taking anybody's command. But at the same time, it is not clocked. It is not on the clock. It's the end of the church age. It's the end for those who believe in dispensation, it's the end of a dispensation. It's the start of another dispensation. It's going from, the baton is being passed back to the Jewish people. Because remember, we were grafted in, and we became one new man, but Israel's still in ignorance. They still don't believe that Jesus is their Messiah. But at the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled, when the last Gentile comes in, then the clock will start. Well, the rapture will happen, and the clock will start again for the Jewish people. So
you know who will be able to tell us the time and the hour of Armageddon? It will be the person who gets born again, who heard everything that people. Just take somebody who listened to prophecy talk like this and listen to the show and read RaptureReady.com, and they get left behind. They will be the ones that will be able to tell you when Jesus Christ will be coming back. After they dig their cave, they will be the ones that know. It's at what a price, though. That's why.
Yes.
That's when you answer the question, how do I avoid the tribulation? You know what?
Yes.
How do you avoid hell if you get hit by a bus tomorrow? How do you secure your salvation with Jesus Christ? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son to die for our sins so
Hallelujah.
That we might
Praise
be saved.
God.
Yeah. And you know what? It goes on and says, now that you're saved, go out and tell the world about me. And that's what we have to do. And
yes,
God did
indeed.
Not send his son in the world to condemn the world. We condemn ourselves. Like we talked about America not being blessed anymore because we have condemned ourselves. But Jesus Christ made it so that the world might be saved through him. One man on this planet lived a perfect life. And, boy, some people can't stand him to this day, and he was here 2,000 years ago. They take his name in vain, and they spit on him, and they just, if he wasn't the Messiah, why is he so important to even people that dislike him? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was the Messiah.
Yes, indeed. That's why I just got to talk to my wife about. The college professors never say he didn't exist. I was like, well, he was a good guy. Would a good guy lie? We say me and the Father are one, but God
yeah,
is.
I see in the chat room. I don't believe like him, but he's a good guy. Yeah, he was a good guy. He was the guy. He was the best guy. He took people that were living in sin, and he told them, "You have salvation through me. I forgive you. Go sin no more." People that were, you know who is not a good guy? People that threw these people out into the street. The woman at the well. She was. And Jesus said, you can be forgiven. You, Red Fire NYC9, Jesus died for you. And Jesus died for me. And he rose again.
Hallelujah.
And he was here for a couple hundred days after. And he told his people, go out and spread the word about me. Now you have the Bible being the most popular book in history. Oh, okay. Sorry, Red Fire. He said he was talking about me. My bad. I didn't mean to tear into you. I was just having a little fun.
You made a lot of sense when you were talking about the archives. These archives are going to be at least around until Big Brother decides to take them off. But these archives, the Holy Spirit will lead people to these archives. So I'm pretty sure everybody on Rapture Ready Radio that has that calling from the Lord is going to be heard. But thank you so much, bro. I'd love to get you back on here.
Sure, anytime.
In the not too distant future. And also, I have a local show that's coming on here in Spokane. I'm going to just, you know, listen to the Lord's leading, because I, you know, Mr. Big Shot want to be seen. And the people ask me, why you don't put your picture on your, I don't have my picture anywhere except on my Facebook and barely have it there. I don't think I'm the one that needs to be seen. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, but I think people want to know what I look like. So, yeah, I'll put a picture up there. But, you know, nobody want to look at my ugly face. But I'm just the instrument. I'm just bringing it.
But everyone see who they're talking to. We got our pictures true. Up, and it's not our highlight, let me tell you.
Yeah, glamour shot. But thank you, brother, very much. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you for having me. God bless.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was an awesome, awesome interview. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be back.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does. And
warning, America. Warning, America. Habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at AnAmericanWarning.com. That's AnAmericanWarning.com.
The Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the Scripture tells of His coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
Okay, we're back. I think my son is upstairs having a temper tantrum, and he got some organized temper tantrums where he's sort of playing politics with them. But I guess all kids do that. Well, anyways, you hear him, that's him. He's quite a little miniature genius. We got to put this key. It's a safety key I got for computers where you can put them on your computers and keep your kids from going into the wrong spots. But I haven't told you how old this dude is. He's 2. He's not even 2 yet. And he surfed the computer. I'm going to get a video and she put it up on my website. And I ain't too proud of it because I'm not one of those type of people. You can ask my wife. I'm not a TV man. I'm not a TV head. You know, I got the ability to be a TV head. I got the ability to stay in place and watch some NCAA football for the whole day. Trust me, I got the tools for it. But I just believe that too much TV makes the head go numb. So we need to sort of too much computers also. But if you own a computer or the monitor and you're learning something, that's fine. You know, you're trying to figure things out, that's fine. But let's just know where we're supposed to base our life on, and that's Jesus Christ. I don't know the phone number to these brothers. I hope these guys are on the line. I see a phone number. But we got from Breaking the Silence, man, it's an awesome ministry. And we got Ron Mosley and Kevin Aldridge on. Hopefully got both of them up. I want to talk about, there's a lot of things to talk about. I grew up in the Baptist church. And the church that I grew up, I have stories to tell, so I'm pretty much sure I can share a lot of things. And a lot of things have been on my heart for a while, from different various churches, not even the black church, but every other church that I've been to. I've been to every race just about, and I've had every race. You know, I've been to Hawaii in the military and overseas. So, but anyway, let's hopefully this is their number. Take a shot. But hey, brothers, how y'all doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
All right.
Phil?
Yes, it's Phil.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. This is Ron.
Oh, how you doing, sir?
Good. Good. Kevin was he did want to make it. He had to send his apologies, but as you know, we're on the East Coast, and so so it's about 10:45 over here, and he had some. He's got a little daughter, so he had to take care of some things with his family tonight. So.
But he
did want to send his. Is thanks for allowing us the privilege of being able to speak with you on your show.
Yeah, man, you guys are doing me a blessing because I've listened to your show and it's awesome. It's very soothing to hear your message of truth. And the Lord is working miracles with y'all. I send my gratitude and thank you for coming on my show today. Let us talk about the condition of the churches as far as the preacher, because I heard one of your radio programs, and it was talking about a man's church or God's church, or should I say it the other way around, a God's church or a man's church. And the focus these days is a lot on the preacher, and I've been to, like I was telling y'all before, the audience before, is I grew up in a Baptist church, and I respect my pastor, and still to this day, he's not the pastor anymore, he's retired, but throughout time, even throughout my military career, the focus has been on the preacher a lot, and I remember complaining, and you know, I'm a murmuring Christian, I call it, at the time, and I would complain about why this and why that, and I kind of knew I was murmuring. I kind of heard God say, if you be quiet, I can tell you the answer. And it surely did, you know, what y'all was talking about on the radio program was pretty much what God delivered to me. The focus these days is on a man and what his every move is rather than what Jesus is moving through the church and what he's trying to accomplish through that person, that body. What do you see as far as the church, not just where you at, but overall?
Well, that is a great question, and I think, Phil, to be honest, you have to really go back to the beginning. I won't spend a lot of time on it, but let me just make this statement. Christ did not come to establish a religion; he came to establish a government. So, the reason we know that is because it has been said on more than one occasion. If you listen to what he said, Jesus himself spoke these words in Luke chapter 4, verse 43. It says, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. So he came to preach about a government, a kingdom. He was a king who was establishing a kingdom. So that tells you that he came to establish a government and not a religion. Okay? If I understand that, then I begin to understand that I cannot look at the church as a religious institution, but I have to look at it the way that he looked at it, which was, first of all, he was the one who said, upon this rock I will build my church. So the church then, we know, belongs to him. It is not, doesn't belong to man. And that's where the whole, when we did that show about discerning between the Lord's church and man's church, Because basically what you're, the point that you're bringing up, one of the ways you're going to know that it's man's church is when you walk in, who is the head?
Yeah.
And if the preacher or the pastor is the head, then I'm going to know that that's man's church. It doesn't mean that the people in there don't love the Lord. That's not what we're saying. There are plenty of people who love the Lord, but yet they've been trained or brought up, as you had mentioned, in organized religion. And so therefore they simply copy what they know.
Yes.
So the cycle will continue to be repeated until we get to the point that we truly come to Christ. Again, in Matthew 11:28, it's interesting because Jesus says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, when you look at that, and, you know, some people, I've asked people, what does that mean? You know, well, who is laboring and heavy laden? You know, a lot of times they say, well, you know, Christ is talking about taking us out of the world and all the burdens that the world puts on us. So actually, when he was talking, he was telling us, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, people who are heavy laden under the burdens of religion.
Yes, indeed. Exactly.
Now, see, this is the part that people don't understand is that, you know, there are burdens that religion puts on us. For example, you know, you have to be at church every Sunday. When you come to church, there are certain clothes that you have to wear. You do what the pastor says. You know, these are all things that are burdens that man places on. They're not burdens that Christ placed on us. But yet we continue to follow them. And these are people who love God. So anyhow, Christ first comes to establish a religion and not a government. So when I understand that, then I understand that as I read the Bible, I'm not reading a religious book. I'm reading a governmental book. So now I have to conform to his government.
Government, because he's going to have a monarchy. Actually, a total monarchy when he reigns and rules in the millennium.
Right. I mean, it's a theocracy. God ruled. Okay. So then if I have a God ruled, then I have to understand God certainly rules in heaven. How is he going to rule the church here on earth? Is he going to rule it through one man, or is he going to put a plurality? When we look in Titus, Paul was admonishing Titus to ordain elders in every city. You may have, and I have to apologize, I don't remember if we spoke on this or not in that one episode, but, you know, the word pastors, if you ask people, whether they're people in the chat room, people listening to us, you know, how many times does the word pastor appear in the New Testament? You know, I'm wondering how many people know that it only occurs once, and when it does, it occurs as a gift, not as an office.
Yes.
It occurs just the same. It occurs in the same in Ephesians, where it talks about what many people call the fivefold ministry: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So, what we have to understand is that if pastor is a gift, who then has turned it into an office, or who has turned it into a position or a title? Well, God didn't do that.
Yeah. Where did it say in the word? It's just, I don't know, 100% sure, but I remember seeing something or somebody said something. I don't like to go off with somebody, but I'm asking you, did it say somewhere to do not be called reverend? Was that in the Bible? I can't recall.
Well, we are to call no man father. And there is truly only one reverend, and obviously that is
God.
Christ. I'm trying to think about whether or not the one that you're referring to is in the book of Revelation, and I'd have to look it up. But I mean, we don't, you know, we don't call a man reverend. Just like it says, call no man father. But if you look in the Catholic Church, what do people call the local priests?
Oh, big time father.
Father, exactly. So we're doing the exact. And why is that? Because they are not encouraged to study the Bible on their own. In fact, if anything, they are discouraged from studying the Bible. They are told that the priest is the one that does the studying for them. Well, that's not what the scriptures say.
It says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. In Hosea chapter 4, it talks about lack. I had a friend in Hawaii was saying, he was also saying that lack of knowledge also means distorted knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And when your knowledge is distorted and you don't pick up the Bible and search the scriptures, then you're going to be misled into thinking that things are fine when they're not, you know.
Right.
And then you're going to have mothers of the church, you know.
I will go even a step further with you. What we have ended up doing for ourselves is we have tried to make the Bible conform to
what we want.
Our way of life, right?
Uh-huh.
And that is not what the scriptures tell us to do. We are supposed to conform our way of life to the Word of God. Now, here's what I mean. And I give this example. And that is, you know, we listen to this. I've heard so many people talk about what is called what they call the prosperity gospel. Okay? Now, there is no gospel other than the gospel of the kingdom. That's the only gospel that we see preached. And that's why I read Luke 4:43 to you and it spoke to you about in the book of Acts. We'll read that. It's Acts chapter 28, verse 23. And it talks about Paul and it says, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. So see, he testified the kingdom of God to them.
Yeah.
The things that we see preached in the scriptures are Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. That's what we see.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But yet, in today we have, and particularly here in the Western world, we have what is called a prosperity gospel. Well, 1 Timothy 6:5 makes a very, now again, I need to clarify something here because when I'm reading this from the King James Version. So not all versions say what this is about to say, but it is not italicized, so it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist in, you know, the earlier manuscripts. I mean, it's there.
Yeah.
So here's what it says. It talks about false teachers. And he says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing the gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself.
Mm-hmm.
So the Word of God tells us that if somebody is preaching that religion is profitable, or that we're supposed to be getting rich from the Scriptures, then the Word of God tells us, the Lord tells us, to withdraw ourselves from that.
Yes, indeed.
But yet, we have people who continue to stay in that. They continue to stay in these fellowships.
Yeah, they think that. Godliness is a form of is seen by riches, and the better you're doing, the closer you are to God.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And so so unfortunately, because people have a mingled seed. It's a mingled seed. And you know, I mean, Jesus did. He told us that the wheat and the tares had to grow together.
Until
the time of harvest, right? So, yet and still, even though they do have to grow together, the reason they're growing that way is so that we can discern what the truth really is. Now, the truth is contained in the Scriptures. So if I hear someone, speaking something, I ought to be able to go back and study it for myself to see if it's true.
Yeah.
And this is what the Lord commended the Bereans on.
Yes.
As he said, that they would hear the word, and then they would go back and study the word to see if it's so. We have many people today who don't even do that. They'll go sit in a church or in a building for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, hear some pastor preach, and because they got all excited, they'll say, oh, yeah, that was a powerful word. You go back and ask them 2 weeks later, they won't even be able to tell you what it was that he talked about, because many people don't go to study it for themselves to see if it's true.
Yes, indeed. And then if that was something that we had to feed our bodies physically for, that'd be a lot of skinny Americans, because we're not going to just eat once a week. We're going to need to eat completely day of the week. And without hearing that word of God and that washing and regeneration, and that being able to be led by the Spirit, because the Spirit can't lead you with a few. I mean, he can do something with it. But most of the time, he's going to be saying you need to get back, get saved. I mean, most of the time, he could be saying that. But you have to be able to read that word and understand that word so the Spirit can lead you, because he can't lead you without just the preacher's words on Friday. I mean,
The Spirit is going to do a couple of things. It is going to teach us. It's going to guide us.
Yeah.
And it's also going to testify of Christ. That's what it'll do.
Yes.
Because that's what the Word does. And so the Word and the Spirit work together for our good. And so if the Word testifies of Christ, then the Spirit is going to testify of the same thing. So we have to learn, first of all, if that's the case. Now, how do we know this? Because Jesus told us what the Spirit would do.
Yeah.
Now, see, that's where, this is the other part. The Spirit is not going to act on its own, just as Jesus didn't act on his own.
Yeah.
He only did what the Father commanded him to do.
Yeah.
Well, the Spirit is the same way. So
yes,
it's not going to just act arbitrarily on its own. Everything it does will always be in agreement with what the Scriptures tell us.
Yes, indeed.
So there are some guidelines which it has. And
yes,
so, So, I mean, if I can't find it, if I can't find some type of evidence in Scripture, like, for example, people, they use many times, the speaking in tongues. Well, I can see evidence of in Scripture where he spoke in tongues, where people were healed, where I also saw where the Spirit prophesied through Agabus. And although he warned Paul about what was going to happen as he walked into Jerusalem, Paul went anyway. So was the prophecy true? Yes. So that means that he was speaking from the Spirit of truth, obviously the Holy Spirit. But was Paul led of that same Holy Spirit? Yes. I like it. One of the things I'm always amazed at when people start talking about, I have the Holy Spirit. Well, how? Well, I was dancing. I flopped around and, on the floor. you know, I said that, you know, and I say to people that they always use, most of the time I hear them using, you know, speaking in other tongues as evidence. But I said, well, how many times do you hear that they spoke the word of God with boldness? Or how many times do you hear that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit till they went and sold their property and their homes and then took all that money and laid it at the apostles' feet so no one has a need? See, those things you don't hear people doing. It's funny how the Spirit can lead them to do one of these things, but yet it doesn't lead them to do these other things that were done in the Scriptures. So what we're doing is, rather than us seeking the truth, if people really began to understand what the kingdom was about, they would realize that it's not about, you know, an emotional experience, but it is about us obeying the Spirit of God. You know, Jesus, you know, I hear a lot of people say, well, Christ came and he died for me. Well, I can't say that is not correct, but his purpose for coming was not to die for us. His purpose for coming was to obey his Father. His Father was the one that commanded that he lay his life down. So, you know, it wasn't because I was, you know, that now the Scripture said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So let's we have to understand something. It wasn't that, you know, God just loved me so much that he sent his Son to die for me. It was really he did love me so much, but because I was so disobedient, because I was so filled with sin, that there was no other way for me to have an eternal relationship with my Father except that his Son come and die.
Yes.
Jesus is the reconciler. That's why we've all been given, you know, this ministry of reconciliation. And yet, you know, we still, again, you know, we kind of look at this as a religious experience. Hey, I go to church. Hey, I give my tithe, so therefore, you know, I'm doing okay. Well, first of all, the Scriptures, Jesus only commanded us to do, you know, love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two commandments. But he told his disciples something very clear. Make disciples. That's what he told them to do. Yep. Preach the kingdom of God and make disciples. Now, he didn't tell us to get saved and go to church. He told us to make disciples, and by making disciples, we build the kingdom of God. Well, a person can't make disciples if they themselves have not been disciples.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
That is true. Yes, indeed.
So if I've only grown up in church, if I've only experienced Christianity from, you know, from a distance, from the church perspective, and when I say church, I'm talking about organized religion, or from television, or from radio programs, then I really haven't experienced the true relationship with God than with man. Because if I have the relationship with Christ, then I'm going to have the relationship with my brother. I have to. And again, the word tells us that. I can't say that I love God and I hate my brother.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen.
That includes passive hate.
Yeah. I mean, I can't sit in a fellowship and tell people that I love the Lord, and then here I am going out backbiting and gossiping and murmuring, like you were saying earlier, you know, about these very people that Christ has put me, supposedly put me together with, has tempered me together with these people.
The Lord has a way of pointing pretty much a hypocrisy by his word. I wanted to go ahead and for the last couple of minutes talk about my life. I used to go to a church, and I don't mention the name, but doctrine or the preaching was kind of strange, because I wanted to get my family in a church and get them stable, so and keep them and not, you know, church hop or anything like that, which they used to call it in Hawaii. So we were at this church, and, you know, everything was fine for a while. The pastor, because they would have the 12-year-olds go out into the sanctuary with the parents, and They would have children's church for the rest of my kids. And they would be preaching. I mean, the pastor would be preaching. And it's like not only over my son's head, but some of the preaching I can understand, but a lot of it was over my head. And I would look at my son like, man, poor child. So I would pray, you know, ask God, and pretty soon God had me leave that church. But the church, the pastor would preach about, he would preach like, he would say things like, lead by your words. And I would think for a second, a little bit later on, as before, just shortly before I left the church, I'm thinking, didn't the Bible say the just shall live by faith? I never hear this guy say that, you know, the just shall live by faith. And the church was a good, you know, brothers and sisters, you know, we were pretty much close, you know, but a little error goes a long ways. And I remember another occasion is when we were all sitting in a room, Sunday school, we were having a meeting, it was a Bible study actually, and the pastor and the second one in charge, the second pastor in charge, was saying to the group, he says, you know, we are Christ. And I wasn't really paying attention to him. So I'm thinking he meant, you know, we are, you know, we belong to the body of Christ. So
right,
he goes on and he starts explaining himself. You know, we are truly Christ. And he starts using the Bible and making the Bible jump and roll over. So I'm like, dude, okay, I'm going to relax here. I'm going to pray, Lord, give me some guidance here. Just don't say nothing. That's what the Holy Spirit says. For right now, just don't say nothing. Just leave. And I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you when you get home about this. And that was the one, that was the straw that broke the camel's back for that church. But well, let's quickly talk about the faith, the force of faith and all this other stuff. You know anything you'd like to elaborate on that?
Well, I guess I would have to get some clarification from you regarding what that means. There are people who do, you know, they talk about faith, and when they mention faith, many people have different definitions of faith. And so,
if it's one definition according to God in Hebrews chapter 11.
Well, you're right, but here's the other thing. I mean, you're right. That is actually, you know, the clearest definition of what faith is. Okay. However, people have different. They still have different connotations. So, for example, they say they have faith for things. Okay. They have faith for good health. They have faith for a new job. They have faith for a new car. Yep. They have faith for good things in life. Okay? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
However, Christ wants us to have faith in God.
Yeah.
He wants us to have faith in Christ.
Yep.
So the faith that I have now that I'm working on developing is a faith that says no matter what I go through on this earth is nothing to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed to us.
Yes.
So therefore, the sufferings that I see here on this earth are nothing. I'm not going to avoid it. I can't avoid it because it's part of my walk.
Yes.
I have faith in order to be able, I have faith that I will be able to suffer gracefully when persecuted for preaching the kingdom of God, because we will be. Because all those who are obedient to Christ will be persecuted by the world. We will be.
Yep.
There's no doubt about it. Now, we will also be persecuted by those who we consider our brothers and sisters.
Uh-huh.
I mean, why? Because when you begin to preach the truth, remember, you know, a lot of people don't like to hear this, but I was sharing with people. You know, we are the modern-day Pharisees.
Yeah.
Now, the Pharisees, you know, at that time, they were still waiting for the Messiah. The Messiah comes in their presence, and they don't recognize him. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, see, you know, when we look at that exchange that they had, and the scriptures say that Jesus said to him, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what he said.
Yeah.
But he was also giving Nicodemus a message. And that uh-huh. message is this. The kingdom of God is standing right before you, Nicodemus, and you don't even see it.
Hmm.
Why? Because the Spirit was not born in him.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit did not make him come alive, so he could not discern that the kingdom of God was standing right in his presence.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's happening to a lot of our brothers and sisters today. They're so caught up in the edifices, in the buildings, that they forget that the kingdom of God does not reside in buildings made with hands.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Okay? We are the temple. So that's one of the things that kind of going back to, that's why I said when you talk about the force of faith, what are you referring to? Because I believe that there is a force of faith, but it's that force that will cause me to do the works that my Father in heaven has commanded that I do.
Yeah.
So when he says, if a man compels you to go with him a mile, go with him 2 miles, then I'm going to do it. If the scriptures tell me that I am not to take a brother to court, then I won't do it. You know, it's sad today that you got how many Christians taking how many, you know, Christians are taking other Christians to court. And when you look in 1 Corinthians 6, he tells us not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We are not to be taking our brothers to court. At least not in the court of man's law. We ought to be able to judge among ourselves and have these matters settled in the church. But yet we can't even do that. That's pretty sad. I want to call myself a Christian. I want to call myself blessed. I want to call myself righteous. But then I can't even execute righteous judgment on a matter.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that's a little unusual that I want to be like God. I want to have all these riches. I want to be able to say these things. Then when I'm required to execute righteous judgment, I can't do it.
Yeah. Indeed. That's true. That's true. That is true,
so
my brother.
The other thing is, you know, you were talking about, you know, the fellowship that you were in, and, you know, again, talking about this force of faith. Well, I ought to have faith to obey his word. Now, what does his word say? 1 Corinthians 12:18, right? It says something very simple. I'll read it to you here. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. So here's the bottom line. I don't go to a fellowship wherever I want to go. I go where he sets me. Now, he may set me in a place where he wants me to bring a word to someone that could be very disruptive. Now, if I am too busy looking for a place that I want to find the preacher who can preach the word, or a place where I can get in and out in an hour, see, if I'm looking for what I want, then I can't be doing what he wants.
Exactly.
See, the Bible says that he set the members in the body. We didn't come here of our own choosing. So how is it then I can choose where I want to fellowship? But we do it all the time, and we think nothing of it.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yeah. I'm like to have you back on the show a little bit later. I was looking at the first 30 minutes, and we pretty much covered a lot of ground. I got a 30-minute program supposed to be coming on here in Spokane area, and an hour show that's supposed to be coming in on WWCR. So if we can get you to come on one of those, that'd be awesome. Awesome thing to have you.
Sure, I would love to.
Yeah. Thank you so much, brother. You are a light in a dark world, and the light that we shine is Jesus' light, man. We got to keep that going. But thank you so much, brother. Man, and tell Kevin I said hi.
And, I sure will.
And I'm talking to y'all. And thank you so much, man.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was a great interview with Breaking the Silence. And we're going to be back after these messages.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same, because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone. Okay, I'm back. I just want to talk about the chat room for a second. I apologize for that because I know I was too busy and too focused on the interview and not on the chat room. And that's why sometimes I feel like taking the chat room off, not even bothering with it. But you guys are blessing. The person that was in there, he's kicked off. But at the same time, if you guys going to wait until he says all, I'm not blaming anybody out there, but don't wait until he says all that stuff and then come and try to say something to me. But I think that person anyway, I guess I have to have both eyes on that thing, on the chat room, be reading, but the screen I have it on is very small writing, so. I think I'm going to move it to the bigger screen that I'm working with this switchboard. But here's the deal. When people come in and do all that stuff, then there's two things happening. Or two things. It's either the enemy coming in or the enemy's coming in. I don't actually just one. That's all I can say. I mean, if y'all, that's not the first time any of y'all or even myself has been attacked on Blog Talk Radio. Do I consider him attacking me? Yeah. I do. I've had some bad times just the last, even my kids get riled up when my show comes on. The kid, normally kids get, when you get on the telephone, they come out of nowhere. So my kids are, I can expect my kids, but a lot of these people that come in the chat room, I'm like, God must be doing, either I'm doing God's will, or these people got my number. And we always face, a lot of people respond to me or whoever's running chat rooms like, you're going to let this person say this? I wasn't even looking, really, and I need to look, and I apologize for that. And I think he scared away a lot of people because I saw the numbers drop really fast. I think it's kind of sad that people, I mean, I don't even go in their chat room. I don't go in nobody's chat room who has other religions chat room. I don't go into the New Age movement chat rooms and try to convert them, even though a lot of people probably do. But they don't do it with so much evilness. Christians don't go in there. I don't say we shouldn't go in there with total evilness and just dog out their God. There has to be some tact to it. Now, if you get in a heated debate, that's fine, man, but I don't get it. I don't know how the kicking off works, but I'm praying that if you kick off somebody, they're kicked off for good. And to further notice, I'm pretty sure they can come back as a guest, but I don't even think the guest can respond or even put a comment in. But you know you're doing God's work when people come in and do what they do, especially when they scare off Christians. Because I saw him say, or her, whatever it was, say, you got the infidel run. And I saw that. And I'm like, wow. Trying to make sure he didn't come back on here. But, yeah, it's further proof that this ministry, along with other ministries, we do doing the will of God, you know. And for the other ministries, the other radio programs that are getting attacked, I can't vouch for them. I can only vouch for us, Christians. The enemy likes to, I mean, I've had so many problems with my radio programs getting them started. I mean, a lot of things, the computer don't work, this don't work, this happens, that happens. And it wastes into my shows. So I know just by that, that one thing alone speaks volumes. But I'm gonna try to have Anthony J. Hilder on. What I'm going to start doing is trying to have my guests lined up a week in advance. Because it's not right to the brother and to Matt from Rapture Ready for me to all of a sudden out of nowhere post up what the show is going to be about. They should already know. And then I even misspell work. So I got to get that together. And when you got five kids or two toddlers, it's sort of hard to do all of that stuff. But anybody that's in the chat room, especially Patriot Greg, I really appreciate you for telling me. If you're in the chat room, you see any corny stuff going on, please be much obliged. I didn't respond to you because I couldn't read the letters. And when I was typing, I couldn't see the letters. I was kind of weird because that's the first time that ever happened. The letters are really small, so when I'm typing, I can't see them. So, but thank you, Patriot Greg, for your response to that chat room problem. I'm still working on it. I'm going to probably end up getting like three or four people that can help me watch the chat room because it's just, I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. But God bless everybody out there. And I'd like to once again thank my guests, Matt from Rapture Ready Radio and Ron from Breaking the Silence. God bless everybody out there, and y'all have a blessed day. See y'all on Sunday.